Good morning. I want to welcome you to the Trucking for Jesus broadcast. My name is Chaplain Blondie Gregory, and I pray today that you'll stay tuned to the broadcast because I know God's Word will encourage your heart. And through God's Word, you can be lifted up. There's hope, and there's joy, and there's remedy, and there's peace given forth in God's Word. The Bible is just not a book. It's the living Word of God. And when we get in God's Word, we will be blessed. So please stay tuned. But first, I want to pray with you. Father, there are many people under the sound of my voice that have many needs. Today, Lord, there are people that are not born again. They do not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And I ask, Lord, that you give them revelation knowledge that they must be born again. And that the only way into you, God the Father, is through your Son, Jesus Christ. And I pray, Lord, that you bring them into salvation, draw them in through your tender love and mercy. And I ask it in the sweet name of Jesus. I also pray for those who are sick today, who are having a battle with their health, and ask God that you touch them and heal them and raise them up and renew their strength. I pray for those that have children that have run away and grandchildren. I pray that you touch them. For those that are incarcerated today, I ask for a special strength for them today, that you go into the cell that they're in, into the holding place that they're at right now, Lord, and encourage them and help them and teach them your word. And let them know that you have not overlooked them, but you are there to provide for them and to keep them. And, Lord, now we pray, we join together. We pray for this great nation of ours and ask, God, that once again you bless America and bring revival to our land. But I ask, God, that it begin with our hearts today. Let revival begin in the hearts of your people. And I thank you for hearing, and I thank you for answered prayer. And I bless this broadcast that it may go into the hearts of many men and women, that it will touch and encourage. And I believe you for miracles today. In Jesus' name, amen. Today I want to read out of John chapter 8, and I want to read about a woman that was an adulterous woman that faced the light, faced Jesus. But before I read the scripture, I want to tell you about a missionary woman that I met many years ago. My husband and I always stopped at a truck stop in Blythe, California with our mobile chapel. And we would go to the Nazarene Church and visit there and preach while we were in the area. And through going there, we met this powerful woman of God who was elderly, very elderly at that time. Her name was Florence Wallen. And Florence Wallen and her husband had been missionaries to the Navajo Indians here in the United States. And Florence Wallen had also pastored Nazarene churches. And one of the first churches that she pastored many, many years back was Nazarene Church in a place called Davis Creek, West Virginia. And Florence Wallen said when she went to that area, her and her husband, to begin to pastor that church, it was a small church and not many people coming, and it looked like there was just no life in the church. And she said one day she was praying about the church and praying about had she missed the will of God or what. She didn't know what to do, so she was just praying what to do. And she decided to get her pail and go out and pick some berries. And when she went out to pick berries, she was thinking about the church and praying about it. But when she got to the berry patch, Sister Wallen said that all the berries were gone because other people had been in before her and they had picked all the berries. So she just went on back home. Now, and she said when she walked in the door and got ready to set her pail down on the cabinet, the Lord spoke to her and told her to go back to the berry patch and pick berries. And she told the Lord, she said, Lord, I've already been out there, and there's no berries left. They're all gone. And the Lord said, go back to the berry patch. And Sister Florence Wallen said she went back to the berry patch, and sure enough, just like she said, when she got there where all the berry patch was, that all the berries were gone because other people had been in before her and picked all the berries. And as she was getting ready to turn around and leave, the Lord spoke to her heart again and said, pick up the bushes. Pick up the laurel bushes. And when she began to pick them up, down under the bushes were the biggest and the most juiciest and the most biggest berries she said she'd ever seen. And they were berries that the other people had overlooked because they didn't reach down under the patch and pick up the limbs to get the berries. And when she began to pick those berries, she said the Lord spoke again to her heart and said, Florence, these are the ones that I'm sending you to. the ones that others have overlooked. A lot of times we go across this country and we see people going into churches and people coming in churches, and that's a good thing. It's wonderful. But there are people out under the overpasses sleeping. There are people sleeping in the camps and people sleeping out on the streets, and there are people hungry today. There are people in prison. There are people in all kind of need. There are people that are caught up in all kinds of sins. There's drug addicts. There's all kinds of things that other people, the Christian world, a lot of times don't want to fool with, don't want to go to. There are others that have been overlooked by the Christian society or the Christian world. But I come by to tell you, no matter what your situation, no matter where you're at, no matter what, where you're located, you're not overlooked by the mercy of God. And when Florence Wallen began to go into those hollers there in West Virginia, if you've ever been there at Davis Creek, West Virginia, you know what I'm talking about. She went into places that the other preachers would not dare to go into. She went into where they were making bootleg whiskey, and she would talk to the bootleggers, and she won them to Jesus. And when we went back there to West Virginia with her years and years later, in her latter years, she booked it as her last revival. She went into Davis Creek, West Virginia, and she preached, and there were people after all those years was still in that church, still serving God. They were people that others had overlooked, but Florence Wallen, by the mercy of God, reached out to them, went to them, and told them the story of Jesus, and they gave their hearts to the Lord, and they were still faithful serving God. Let me tell you today, we don't need to overlook anyone. We don't need to pass by, like the story about the Good Samaritan, how the priest and the Levite passed by the man that was wounded, but there was one that stopped and reached down to help. And that's what the Lord has called us to do. And that's who this woman is today. And as I read the scriptures, I want you to listen to what the scripture says. In chapter 8 of the book of John, starting with the first verse, "And Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came with him, and he sat down, and he taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, 'Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded that such should be stoned, but what do you say?' This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear. And when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, 'He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone or cast the first stone at her.' And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And those that heard it, being convicted in their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest even to the last. And Jesus was left alone with the woman standing in the midst. And Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman. And he said to her, 'Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?' She said, 'No, Lord.' And Jesus said, 'Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more.' Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, 'I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life.'" I want to repeat that again. "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Not of the world, but of life, and Jesus is that light. Now, in this portion of scripture, Jesus had been teaching, and the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious leaders, caught a woman in the very act of adultery and brought her and put her down in front of Jesus and said this woman was caught in the very act of adultery. The law of Moses says that we should stone her to death. What do you say? And you know what? If they had been really concerned or really knew the law, they would have known that it wasn't a just thing to just bring the woman. It was the man and the woman that was to be bought to be stoned, but they only bought the woman. You see, when you just seek to find fault with others and condemn others, you say you know the word, but you really don't know the word. But Jesus, when they put this woman that was caught, it was no question she was guilty of a sin that she had done, and they threw her down in front of Jesus, and they wanted to know what Jesus was going to do about that. And then Jesus did something very strange. He began to write in the dirt. And I was researching this part of the scripture, and in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 13, it says this, "Those who depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of the living waters." Sometimes I think maybe that Jesus began to write some of the things and bring out that these people had forsaken the word of God. You see, you can have an outward form of religion or outward form of knowing the word, but if you don't have the love of God in your heart, you have forsaken who God is, because God is love. And then Jesus, he looked down and he looked at this woman, and as he began to write in the dirt again, they had stones in their hand, and they began to drop the stones, and they began to leave, starting with the elders one by one. You know, in the Bible, we're told when Jesus wrote, there are three accounts when God wrote. When God wrote the Ten Commandments, that was an awesome time. And when Jesus stooped down and wrote this time in the dirt. But then there's another time that Jesus wrote, when he wrote your name and my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Aren't you glad that he did not condemn us? Jesus said, "I didn't come to condemn you. I come that through me you might have life and have it more abundantly." And when the accusers had left, he looked at this woman and he said, "Where are those that accuse you?" And she said, "Lord, no man accuse me." And he said, "Neither do I condemn you." He said, "Go and sin no more." And that's a point I want to bring out right here. He didn't tell her just to go your way. He didn't say you're released. He said, "Go and sin no more." You know, when we want to find the guilty and bring them to punishment, but Jesus searches out the guilty and bring them to forgiveness. That's the difference in man, and that's the difference in Jesus. Let me say that again. Man wants to find the guilty to bring them to punishment, but Jesus searches the guilty to bring them to forgiveness. Oh, that is so powerful. If you just realize that today, Jesus is not searching for you to bring you to punishment. He's bringing you, searching you out to bring you to forgiveness. When the prodigal son, you remember the story about the prodigal son who had taken his father's money and his inheritance and wasted it on riotous living and on harlots and ended up in the hog pen. When he said, "I'm going to get up out of this mess and I'm going back to my father's house and I'm going to tell him I've sinned against heaven and against him and no more worthy to be his son, and I'm going back and see if he'll take me back just as a servant." The sweetest words that boy ever said was, "Father, I have sinned." And the sweetest words that prodigal son ever heard was, "Son, I forgive." And that's with you and I today. Let me tell you, the sweetest words, child, that you'll ever say is, "God, I am a sinner. I have sinned." And then, immediately, the sweetest words that will ever come to you is, "I forgive." Because when we ask for forgiveness, we receive forgiveness. When we repent and ask forgiveness of our sins, then we are forgiven. And I want to tell you that again, because that is a powerful thing that so many of us forget. We pass up a lot of things. We say a lot of things. But we want to find the guilty and bring them to punishment. But Jesus searches out the guilty to bring them, come on, to bring them to forgiveness. And the only hands that held no stones that day in that particular thing, the only hands in that group that did not hold a stone, when that woman was caught in the very act of adultery, when that woman was bought with no doubt that she was a sinner, when that woman was caught in the very act of adultery, the only hands in that whole group that did not hold a stone was Jesus Christ. Oh, I want you to realize, if you could just realize today just how much Jesus loves you, how much He cares for you. Man might condemn you, and man might want to see great punishment come on you, but that's not why Jesus came. He died on the cross to save us from our sins, not in our sins, but from them. He will forgive us and wipe the slate clean when our names are not written in dirt, but written on the Lamb's Book of Life. When those books are open and we stand before God, we, like this woman, can say, there's no one to condemn me or to accuse me, because I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. I've been forgiven by the Master. He sought me not to bring me to judgment, but He sought me to bring me to forgiveness and redemption. He wants us to come unto redemption. He wants us to be born again. He wants us to hear the gospel message. Ye must be born again. Ye must receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And I can imagine how that woman must have felt that day, that when she had been caught in this act and drug out disgracefully and slung down before Jesus and looking around knowing she was guilty and looking at the stones in the people's hands and knowing her life was soon to be taken and stoned to death because she had broken the law. But let me tell you, the living Word of God, which was Jesus, stood for her defense, stood on her part. And because of Him, she was spared that day. And she was told to go and sin no more. And when the Lord tells you to go and sin no more, His grace gives you the power and the strength to do that. A lot of times we think that when we're born again, we can't live a Christian life, but we can, because that's why God gave us His Word. When you hear the Word, it goes into your heart, it purges you, it cleanses you, and that's why we have His grace. His grace helps us to live a holy life, and His grace helps us to do the right thing. And even when we stumble, and even as Christians when we fail, He'll still forgive us and help us up and not condemn us, but help us to put away our sin and do the right thing. Something else that we need to realize, what was happening at this time. During this time that Jesus was speaking to this woman was the time of the Feast of the Tabernacle. And I want to explain to you one of the things that was going on at this time when He talked to this woman that was caught in adultery. And have you ever wondered why at the end of talking to her, He said, I am the light of the world. And this was going on at the same time Jesus was speaking to this woman. At the Feast of the Tabernacles, there was four large candelabras that were put in the court of the women. And it was full of oil, and the wicks were made out of the priest's garments that they had worn in that previous year. And during this time, there was great music in the court of the women, and they were dancing, and the women would get under this great candelabras, and they would dance, and they would sing praises. And this light, this great light that they said could be seen all over Jerusalem at this time, this great torch in the women's court, and where the women would come together and rejoice, it was a symbol, it symbolized the revelation of the truth of the Jewish faith. That's what that great light was. It symbolized the truth of the Jewish faith. But this woman that was caught in adultery was not allowed in the court of the women to do this. But she was rejected by this because of her sin and her lifestyle. She was not allowed in this court and probably rejected by the women of that day. But the light of the world told her this. And I want to read it to you again. I want you to remember this. In verse 12, Jesus spoke to them again, and speaking of the woman, I am the light of the world. Jesus, who was the high priest, Jesus, who was the light of the world, said, I am the light of the world, and he that follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And that's what he was telling this dear woman. He said, I am the light. You may not be welcome up there in the temple, but you're welcome in the light of life. And let me explain something to you. This light that Jesus had in him and who he was did not end with the Feast of Tabernacles. It is forever. When we walk in Jesus, we have the light of life. The light of life. And we will not walk in darkness. Our lives are not filled with darkness and dread and fear and sin and transgression, but it is in light. It's in the life. He is the light of life. And when you have Jesus, you have that life. You have light and you have joy and you have peace. He who the Son sets free, and this woman was set free that day, the Bible says, is set free indeed. And then it also says, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. See, when you hear the truth, and Jesus is the way, he is the truth, he is the light, he is the life, he is our all and our all. And today I want to tell you that no matter what you are caught up in, no matter where you are, Jesus loves you. And he is reaching down. Others might have overlooked you. Others might have shunned you. They make you feel like you're not good enough to be a part of their clique. But let me tell you, that doesn't matter. As long as you have Jesus, as long as you have the Master, you have life, you have joy. He said, I come to give you life and give it more abundantly. I come to give you joy. The joy of the Lord is our salvation. The joy of the Lord, it is our hope. He gives us that when we know him. And Jesus said, I'm the light of this world. I'm the light of life. And we need to know that not only in that previous chapter, he also said, I'm the living waters. I'm the living waters. I'm the living waters. And during this feast time, the tabernacles, they would pull water out on the temple steps. And that was to say, that was the word, the door flowing out to people. But Jesus said, I am the living waters. He said this, in your belly will flow rivers of living water. And what Jesus does in us is not in a building somewhere. It's not in a tabernacle, but we are the tabernacle. We're the living tabernacle. He will come dwell within us. His light will be in us. His rivers of living waters will be in us. His joy will be in us. And the sweetest words that was ever spoken were spoken on that cross. And it was for you. I'm talking to you. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgive them. He had already forgiven the thief that asked forgiveness that was on the cross beside of him. And child, I'm telling you that Jesus will forgive you right now if you'll only ask. He came to give you life. He came to give you life more abundantly. And when he told this woman, he said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. She was a set free woman. She was restored. And I want you to know that Jesus just does not forgive you. He will restore you. You are a child. You are somebody. You're a child of the King. Oh, we need to rejoice in him who we are today. Oh, the sweetest words that we will ever hear is that we're forgiven. Oh, the sweetest words is that we are forgiven. And then when we stand before him and the books are open and our names haven't been written in the dirt, but written on the Lamb's Book of Life, when we hear him say, well done, thy good and faithful servant, enter into the joys of the Lord. What a time that will be. There's an old hymn that says, there wasn't a time on earth when in the book of heaven an old account was standing for sins yet unforgiven. My name was at the top and many things below. I went unto the keeper and I settled long ago. Oh, let me tell you, and then it says, and when before that judgment bar I stand, and when the books are open, he cannot find a thing, because I've been redeemed. We've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb long ago. Let me tell you, do not put off salvation. Today is the day of salvation. Right now is the time to be born again. Do not put him off. You're not promised another day, another tomorrow. when Jonah preached to the Ninevites, when he went to Nineveh and he preached, he told them, he said, 40 days and God's going to overthrow this great city. And they took him to heart and they repented and they fasted and they prayed and God forgave them, even though judgment had been pronounced over them. But let me tell you something. I can't promise you the other 39 days. Today is the day of salvation. I can't tell you you got 40 days. I can't tell you you got 4 years, 5 years, 40 years. I can't, no man knows the hour nor that it is appointed once to man to die and after that the judgment. When you stand before God, He'll either be your judge or He'll either be your Savior. But you know what? The choice is yours. Nobody can make that. Nobody can make that decision but you yourself. And that's the greatest decision you can ever make, is to give Jesus your heart and your life and let Him be the Savior. You've tried. Some of you that I'm talking to, you've tried everything. You've tried drugs. You've tried alcohol. You've gone here. You've gone there. Some of you think if you get a new car, a new house, a new clothes, a new wife, a new husband. But let me tell you, your life and your joy is not based in things and people. It's in Jesus Christ, because He is the Prince of Peace. In our country today, we're facing great trials and tribulations in our land today, but it's nothing that's too hard for God. With Him, all things are possible. And if we, God's people, will turn from our wicked ways and repent and pray and seek His face, He said He would forgive us of our sins and heal our land. And so many times I've said this, the remedy for America, Republicans, the remedy for America, Democrats, the remedy for America, people, listen, is get back to church, get on your knees, and pray. That's the only thing that's going to turn this country around, if we, God's people, will repent and pray. I thank you for listening to the broadcast today, and I want to encourage you to write me with any requests that you have. I promise I'll pray for you. And if God lays on your heart to help with the broadcast, it would be greatly appreciated to stay on the air. And go to my website, truckingforjesus.org, and you can learn more about my ministry. But pray for me, and I promise to pray for you. And I want you to have a marvelous day in Jesus, because every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. And I want to close with a saying that I said a while ago. We religious people want to find the guilty and bring them to punishment, but Jesus searches out the guilty to bring them to forgiveness. Jesus searches out the guilty to bring them to forgiveness. Will you receive that gift today? Receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Thank you for listening, and God bless you.